This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com, and by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
A sputtering rally.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Looks like it'll be tough for Wall Street to keep the upward momentum going today. Some of the Asian markets ran out of steam. Japan's Nikkei was down 0.5%. Stocks in Europe are down in the early going. But hey, we can still play the happy music this morning. The Wall Street indexes put on at least 1% yesterday. The Dow gained 157 points to 12,207. The NASDAQ added 44, almost 2%, to 2385, and the S&P 500 finished 21 points higher at 1395. U.S. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson arrived in China today. He'll be giving a speech at the Shanghai Futures Exchange, but he's not there to talk about the stock markets. This is one of his regular visits to China. Joining us now is Scott Tong, our new Asian correspondent. Scott, every time I turn around, Paulson's in China. What's he up to?
Well, one reason is just that China's economy just continues to grow and grow. And there is this ongoing conversation, debate, kind of gnashing of teeth in Washington at times about China's currency and whether that is an unfair trade barrier vis-a-vis the United States. The other point is Mr. Paulson, from his career as an investment banker, he knows a lot about China. And what he has tried to begin is what he calls a strategic economic dialogue with China, which is much wider than just the currency. So he's coming to China to talk about intellectual property and piracy, about Chinese financial markets and how they should open up to new competition.
He sort of seems to be taking a carrot approach. And a lot of people in Congress want the U.S. to use a stick, you know, when it comes to China's currency. How long can Paulson hold out with this dialogue strategy?
People in the business community say the meter's kind of ticking here. And so Mr. Paulson has to come back with something that appears to be we're making progress. But at the same time, it's not going to happen overnight. China is not about to even allow the impression that someone from the outside has pushed it into making economic changes.
Is there any sense that the Chinese are stringing Paulson along here?
I don't think so, because you might think that having a giant trade surplus is a great thing necessarily for China, but it isn't. With all the foreign currency reserves that China has now, there are worries about overcapacity, sectors getting too much money, too much cash in China.
Scott Tong, our correspondent in Shanghai, thank you.
Okay, Scott, thanks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives, BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices, Calvert.com.
Let's see what the folks in Congress are up to this week. Well, a Senate panel today holds a hearing for credit card companies to testify. The lawmakers are interested in interest rate practices and other issues that critics say confuse consumers and can push people further into debt. Plus, Congress is tackling the issue of CEO pay. Should shareholders get a say in how much the top executives make? Eric Kneeler has more on that from Washington.
Astronomical paychecks and golden parachutes for execs have gotten under the skin of Democratic Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts. His proposed bill would allow shareholders a non-binding vote on CEO pay. Frank says such a vote would not limit corporate boards' ability to set executive compensation, but he says it will give shareholders the opportunity to voice their approval or disapproval, which is their right.
This lack of confidence in shareholders when it comes to CEO compensation greatly contrasts with what we're told that we should impute to shareholders on every other issue.
Some business groups say that shareholders as a group have too many agendas. They argue that corporations are not a democracy and that boards are better suited to determine pay packages. Frank's House committee holds hearings on the plan later this week. In Washington, I'm Eric Kneeler for Marketplace.
The most important domestic issue for Americans right now is pretty clearly affordable health care. In the latest New York Times CBS poll, people ranked health care way ahead of immigration or taxes or anything else. And a majority of Americans say the U.S. government should guarantee health insurance for everybody. Commentator David Frum believes Republicans better come up with a plan if they have any inkling of winning in 2008.
No wonder Americans are dissatisfied. The cost of health insurance for a typical family of four has almost doubled over the past 6 years. Those price increases have gobbled up workers' pay raises, and millions of working Americans find themselves priced out of the health care market. Democrats and liberals have an answer to the problem, a bigger role for government. Republicans and conservatives believe market principles should guide health care instead. But for market principles to work, markets must begin to deliver better results. One reason the U.S. healthcare market doesn't work well is that the U.S. doesn't have a national market for health insurance. Instead, we've got 50 different state markets, each with its own rules and regulations. Health coverage in New Jersey can cost more than twice as much as health coverage in Kentucky. Then we make things even more confused with massive tax breaks for those workers who buy their health insurance through their employers. Those subsidies distort the American job market. They dull consumer sensitivity to price increases, and they reduce healthcare providers' incentives to innovate, economize, and compete. To restore rationality to the marketplace and avert a government takeover, Republicans need to do two things. First, create a true national insurance marketplace. Let New Jerseyans buy Kentucky policies if they want, and vice versa. Second, break the link between work and insurance by finding ways to put the tax subsidy for healthcare directly into the hands of every citizen. That's what Republican Governor Mitt Romney did in Massachusetts, and it is what President Bush proposed in his 2007 State of the Union address. Successful political parties listen to voters and then invent solutions consistent with their party principles. On health care, it's time for Republicans to start succeeding.
David Frum is a former speechwriter for President Bush. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The President.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.